Welcome to the Built Different podcast. I'm your host, Will May, team leader and real estate coach at Keller Williams Greater Omaha. And today we're taking a little bit of a different approach to the podcast because we're not talking real estate agents, which should be a little bit of fun today. So we got THI Builders in the house. So James Thompson, CEO and owner, Kevin Nordhuis, did I say it right?
You got it.
Vice President. So we're going to hear, which I'm excited about, the entire building process, how THI was built. And then also, like, I'm going to probably ask you guys a lot of questions about where are we going in this market, because you guys have to think of, you know, the market in a different capacity than we do as agents. So thank you guys on how busy you are. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to open this up and just kind of understand, you know, how did THI come to be? How did you guys meet? And you know, one of you guys can start, but how did this whole thing start?
Yeah. So we're both from a small town, central Nebraska, town of 500 people. We grew up there together. And, you know, everybody in a small town wants to get away, you know, so we graduated. I came down here to Omaha and I started going to school at nights and I was wearing the tool belt during the day. And a wise man once told me, the harder you work, the luckier you get. So I was grinding. I was broke. So, you know, goes hand in hand.
Yep.
And I just met the right people at the right time and really helped, you know, Thompson Home Improvements at the time take off and grow. And you know, Kevin was working in Lincoln and what was that, 2014?
14.
Yeah. He, you know, that was 07 when I started, but, you know, finally got Kevin on board to come down and start working 10 years later. And here we are. You know, we were touching about 1,200 houses a year, doing framing, roofing, siding, gutters, garage doors, decks, stone, you name it, for a lot of different builders in town. We always wanted more. Like, I always had a passion to build houses, and that's kind of where I wanted to be. So, you know, we started taking that approach, and we were building houses for friends, family, few customs here and there, just kind of under the radar. And then probably 6-7 years ago, we decided, well, let's start cranking this up. Let's go all in. You know, in our big year, I think was 2021, 2022, between townhomes, row homes, villas, single family, we cranked out 140 houses.
Wow.
With the market, we haven't been able to get back up there.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, we were drinking from the fire hose. I think we learned a lot. At one point, I wanted to be the biggest and the baddest home builder in the state of Nebraska. I don't know if I want to be that anymore. you know, I think we just, you know, what's going to naturally fit for us and our customers and just be able to control and grow is kind of where we're at, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think he just put like a really long and probably a lot of challenging time and made that seem really easy.
there was a lot that went into that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'm gonna take you all the way back to the beginning. So you're like, okay, well, I'm working hard, grinding. THI Thompson Home Improvements has started at that point. How did it start? Like, what was the, were you working somewhere else? You're like, hey, I can do this on my own, or what did this all start?
Yeah, so Thompson Home Improvements, I was a sub for various home builders, and I started out doing siding. And that's just kind of what I knew. I liked to work with my hands. I wanted to be outside. And I did a little bit of that. You know, growing up, we farmed and ranched. But on the summers, I would do jobs, roofing, siding. And so that was a natural fit for me. I dove into there and just continued to keep doing sub work for people. And then it got to the point where some of these home builders came to me, you know, 08, 09, right before, you know, everything crashed. And they're like, we're gearing up to go crazy. He's like, I need you to do 10 a week in this neighborhood. And I look at the three guys that are working with me and I'm like, how are we going to do that? Right? Like, no chance. So that's, you know, you and I were talking about kind of hiring subs and getting, growing your team and the Grant Cardone approach of where you 10x it, right? So we dove in on what we were really, really good at, which was siding and roofing. And we started growing crews and then we 10x that, right? And that's how Thompson Home Improvements really grew and helped us build a good solid foundation. And when Kevin came on board, it was just me, him, one superintendent, and a bookkeeper.
Wow.
I mean, and we were touching 1,200 houses a year.
That's wild.
It was, yeah. We didn't have any kids then, so it was a lot easier.
Now we got a grip of them. We got a whole bunch, right?
Yeah.
When you were doing that, were you working mostly with builders at that time, or like, were you doing both, you know, like 50-50 of that?
Yeah, most of it was builders. Some of them were like exterior remodel companies. You know, we were doing stuff for them too. Some of them were for subs that subbed from a home builder.
Got it.
All the above. I mean, I wouldn't say no to anything. I mean, I was locked in, ready to go. I'm surprised I'm married, because my wife would just yell at me because all I did was work, sun up, sun down, 7 days a week. And she's like, there's no time for me.
Yeah.
You know, bless her heart, but here we are. Now that I had kids, I've slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, it's the sacrifice of building the business, right? And so, Kevin, how did you come, like, what were you doing before this into, like, what you do now?
Yeah, so in 14, I was working in Lincoln. I got married that summer of 14. We were living in Blair. So at the time, I was still driving for about a six-month period from Blair to Lincoln every day. Jeez. And James' office was in Elkhorn. So naturally, being friends, I'd stop, talk to him all the time. I'm like, hey, I got to start looking for something different or whatever. And he's like, well, come work with me. And I'm like, I have no idea what it is you do. you know, the construction side, the general side, but I'd never been in that business before, but I did it. We jumped head first and yeah, haven't looked back ever since. We had one desk. He sat on one side in front of the computer. I sat on the other side and made the phone calls. We were still old school. We had folders, stack of folders every day. We were also doing a ton of storm damage. So back in,
I was wondering, yeah.
The Blair hailstorm of 13 and 14, that was, you know, that hit a lot of houses, and we had about 100 jobs that we were running on top of all the new construction. So that's, yeah, we're still handling all that too.
What was your day to day like then? Were you guys, you weren't actively in doing the work, or at that time actively, like, you know, doing the roofing and siding? You built yourself out of that part of it, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't remember necessarily when I stopped wearing the tool belt every day. It was a slow transition of where, you know, it was probably about that time where we had to crank up and do, you know, 10 a week in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I started to hire people. I would wear the tool belt during the day, and then at night I'd drive around and I'd check these jobs. You know, I'd be getting yelled at by customers because I'd be outside the flashlights checking houses. And you know, that was probably when I let the business quit running me and I started running the business and getting in there. And Kevin's amazing, because I like to be the technical guy. I like to know all about what's going on and how it's going and making sure it's right. He is the office, you know, financial guy. He loves diving into the numbers and keeping all that nice and pretty. So we complement each other very well, because I'm out of that world.
More hands-on, more systems, operations minded.
Correct. Yeah, he didn't have systems and operations. He just worked. That's all James had to do, was just work. So
26 hours a day.
Yeah, he'll figure out the book work at a different time.
Yeah.
I always joke around with my dad. Everything he did was on, like, you know, those gloves that you buy with the wrapper on it. He used to do bids on the back of those. Like, he was writing everything down. Like, Dad, we got to get a new system for you. And that's such a natural way to do things. Like, what do I have in front of me right now, and I'll make this work.
Yeah. I remember the dash in my pickup. It was like a filing cabinet. You know, it was just, you couldn't barely see out of the dash. It was just.
That's funny. That's how it all begins too, right? And so now, you guys have obviously progressed. You did 140, 21 or 22, one of those years. And you guys said just market-wise, trying to build yourself back to that point. But what's your guys' day-to-days look like now? Are they similar to then? And what's your roles look like, and how they've changed?
Yeah, so I don't get out as much as I used to. I still, like, I'll drop the kids off at school, and then I'll go drive neighborhoods real quick, like the ones that are close. And then the ones that are on the other side of town, I'll pick a day and I'll go drive those neighborhoods and check houses and schedules and all that. And you know, I kind of, after I do that, I go into the office and then I start working on, you know, what are we going to go with? What are we going to start with specs? How are we looking here schedule wise? We have quite a few meetings throughout, you know, multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, keeping on task. You know, banks, I deal a lot with banks and and the builders. I try to be like the leader for our builders. Mm-hmm. If there's questions, problems, I'm in that side. And Kevin can kind of speak to his day to day.
Yeah. So backing up just a little bit, in 2020 and 21, when we were really gearing up to build that, you know, 140 units that we built in 21 and 22, we obviously just couldn't do it with us, right? So we started bringing on the project manager, another project manager, then he needed another bookkeeper. We still have Thompson Home Improvements.
Right.
It's pretty successful, and it still runs day to day. So it has its whole team. So we hired some people over there, and we went from having 6 employees 1 year to about 25.
Jeez.
And it all fell on our shoulders, right? And when you come from a world the last 10 years before that of just, you just work, right? You just get up, you just go to work. You don't have to worry about managing people. It became a lot. And then we're down to 16 employees now, which is a lot more manageable. So
yeah,
that's where my day-to-day is. You know, I'm usually right in the office right away, and then just touching base with a lot of those guys. James handles all the project managers, and I'm more of on the accounting and our sales manager on the Thompson side. I deal a lot more in the forefront with a lot of our realtors, realtor groups. So I'm usually that first phone call with them. Yeah, and then just managing whatever else comes through, and then
those are always fun calls, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're always fun. Yeah, just we got another sale.
I love it. That's a good way to say it. And so I mean, it sounds like you guys. So it's you two obviously are kind of managing, running things, and then you have project managers of about 16 employees, and then they're overseeing kind of all the work that's actively done to lift a structure up, right?
Yeah. Yep. They're our day to day guys. They're boots on the ground every day. We use Builder Trend.
Okay.
So we make them follow that. I think we could build a house in 5 to 6 months. And I've had some builders that came in and they want to be in that 8 to 12 month period. You know, when we get into our bigger customs that we build, that's acceptable. But for us, and for me wearing the tool belt all those years, there's people that can build a house in 4 to 6 months, right? And mm-hmm. and I don't want to build it in 4. I don't want to skimp on quality. I don't want to build a house like that. I want to focus, get it done right, and I want to be in that 6 month time period. There's no reason not to be. So I really beat on the guys and drive it into their head that they can do it. And you know, that was a learning curve too, but now they're there and they agree. And as long as they follow their schedule that they put into Builder Trend, they hold, you know, trades accountable, it's running pretty smooth now.
Yeah, and I imagine as you guys scaled, a lot of stuff broke during that time, and it was a little bit more of a challenge. And then on top of that, you got several builders building, and I'm not sure if your guys only work with you, but like trying to keep them on schedule, I think would probably have been a challenge at that time.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of challenges over the last, you know, 3 years. We had inflation. We had everybody building like crazy when we had 2.5% interest rates, right?
Yep.
So
shortages.
Yep. Shortages. It was a battle. We have really good relationships with a lot of our vendors and our trades too, because a lot of them started their business when I was wearing my tool belt, started my business, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like say, like, we're down to earth, you know, we grew up in a town of 500. We treat people like we want to be treated. You know, and it's that family feel. We're a small builder, but we're trying to do big things. So,
yeah.
You know, I think our trades, everybody that works for us, likes to work for us. Right. And, that's helped a lot.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think one of the biggest common denominators you'll see with us, especially going back to even before I joined James in 2014, is relationships, right? You surround yourself with like-minded people that want to work hard, that know how to show up every day. They show up for you. You care about their families. And that doesn't matter if they're an employee or if they're a sub. Mm-hmm. So I think we've done a really good job about doing that. And that's important to us too.
Yeah. And then that allows you guys externally, that naturally results in a good reputation, which in Omaha, we know how important that is in real estate market, building market, that reputation is everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Omaha's a small town.
Very small town. Thanks for the story and how we got to this point. Tell me this, where's THI going? What's the vision for this company moving forward? You guys are young guys. You got a long roadway ahead of you. Like, what's that look like for you two?
Yeah. You know, when I said we wanted to be the biggest and the best home builder in the state of Nebraska, I think I've taken a step back from that. I don't think we need to be the biggest, you know, especially now we got nationals that have moved in to town. They're going to suck up a lot of that market share. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to compete with them. I want to be that next step up. I want people to walk into that house and say, well, you know, this fits our price point, but for $10,000-$15,000 more, we're getting a better product built by custom builders. They see the value, and I want to be that guy. We want to be that company, and we want that house to not have any issues for as long as they live there. You know what I mean? And we want referrals too. Like, we want them. That's part of the reason we started. You know, we got our entry level, we got our semi-customs, we got our customs, and we got our villas. Mm-hmm. Plus, we build stuff for investors if they want townhomes, row homes, duplexes. We do all that. We want somebody to move in. Let's say they buy a semi-custom from us, and then 2 years later, they're like, hey, we got a big promotion. We want, you know, we're growing our family. We want a bigger house. So they want to build a custom. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be like, who are we going to use this time? Because last time those guys were terrible.
You know?
We want to be like, no brainer. Let's go.
Yeah.
What do you guys got? And you know, I think like that 100 homes a year mark is where I feel, comfortable right now with the team we have in place and the systems we have in place. If we get any further ahead of that, I think we're gonna have to grow again.
Yeah. You
know, growing pains.
Yep.
So I think if we threw out 100 houses a year, I think we could handle that very well right now.
Is that about where you guys are at now? Give or take?
I would say we're behind that right now. We're off to a great start right now.
Okay.
Kevin could speak higher on the numbers and what we have and where we have it, but we're off to a good start this year.
Awesome.
Yeah, we closed about 55 units last year and 23 across all of the platforms of homes. And then we're sitting on 20 specs right now, from some that are complete through drywall, foundation, et cetera. So we got a good mix there. And we have about 45 pre-sale contracts that we're building on. So,
awesome.
And that goes from our semi-custom line to full-blown custom homes.
I was wondering, like, how many projects are you guys managing at one time right now? Sounds like somewhere between 60 and 80, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty steady for right now. We were obviously doing more a couple of years ago. Another thing, when we talk about our relationships and our project managers, like the guys we have now, we have 3 project managers running all those houses. So it's not like we have, you know, 10 guys out there managing 5 houses. We got 3 guys managing 10, 15, 20 houses at a time.
Run lean, right? But they obviously pick good people that can actually handle that kind of capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think, and this goes back to the production world and me wearing the tool belt, but I think a superintendent can run anywhere from 20 to 25 houses at a time. And if they're in the same neighborhood, it's even easier, right? Mm-hmm. That took some time and some training with our guys, but I don't think anybody has more than 13 houses, you know, at any given time in the startup phase. So that takes a lot of stress off too.
Yeah.
It's very manageable.
Yeah.
And then get to every house every day.
For sure. I love it. For you guys and where you're at right now, right? Like, you guys have a really solid structure system. I mean, you know, you can probably continue growing it from here. What makes you guys different than the other builders in town?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Take your time.
There's a lot that goes into it. Some of the things we do different is, instead of doing like 2x10 floor joists, we'll use bottom bearing floor trusses. We also, our HVAC systems, we put in, you know, like 96% efficient with 16 SEER air conditioners. We use 4-inch filter racks. We do tankless water heaters. Our HVAC system, we hard pipe all of our trunk lines. So most people just do flex, and that cuts back on the, you know, the velocity that comes off that furnace and pushes flow through the house. Our returns are usually in the walls. So it'll circulate from, you know, the register, and it gets air movement through the house a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
We finish our garages. So we insulate and trim and paint our garages. We use insulated garage doors. We use 2x6 exterior walls. We do blow-in insulation, not bib, or not bats. A lot of our houses have James Hardy siding on them. you know, we use good windows, right? Like our window package is probably three times as much as some. You know, we use good quality stuff inside our house. Like our all of our plumbing fixtures are cooler. We use quartz countertops.
I don't
where his mind goes, right?
He's, yeah, I don't know what just happened there. I don't know what you just said, but it sounds like quality is what I picked up from the whole situation there.
Yeah, and from a higher aspect,
yeah,
I guess, yep. 360 view, there's really not another builder in town that covers the broad spectrum that we do, from a semi-custom to full-blown customs to a villa to townhomes, right? Everybody kind of specializes a little bit.
Yep.
We're unique enough and we've done enough and we have such a good base built that we can, I mean, we can pivot on a dime. Mm-hmm. If somebody walks in the door, well, what is it you're looking for? Right.
Yeah.
And we don't say that just to put ourselves out there. We have house plans built with pricing across each platform. So
good.
I think that makes us pretty unique.
Yeah, no, I laugh because of how you went on that. I love the fact that you know you think through these things more than others, right? Because I bet in that kind of like starter new construction price point, it is as cheap as humanly possible. So I think that's why that ties back to what you were saying before. If you don't want to compete with those people, you want to build a really quality product.
Yeah, and the one thing we went back and forth on when we were getting into the semi-custom and the more affordable homes was, we don't want to do the bait and switch, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here's our base price. Somebody comes in and says, hey, we've seen this house for $350. Where can we build it? We'd be like, well, nowhere. You know, our base price for our lots are where they need to be. They're accurate. You can come in and say, I want to build that house and we can build it for you.
Mm-hmm.
No hidden upgrades you got to do, no extra lot cost, depending on the lot you pick. But we have lots that'll fit our allowance that's in there. Our upgrades, our standards are most people's upgrades,
yep.
Put it that way. And that's where we're different. And, you know, we thought about trying to be like them, but I don't want to be like those guys.
Yeah.
I want people to see the value and I want them to pick us for that reason.
Yeah.
If it's 100% price point and we can't get there, you know, we'll try, you know, cause that's one thing we love to do is we love to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get there, we'll get there. And if we can't, you know, it just wasn't meant to be, probably.
Yep.
Sometimes our own detriment, right? I mean, they're just like, hey, I love your house. I want to do this, but I got to change XYZ. Most builders in that price point just say no. Like, no, you can't do that. Well, we're like, yeah, I mean, you can do it.
And
send it back. Let us get it redrawn for you. Try not to do that, right? Because it really hinders your ability to scale. But we do it, and we do it all the time for people.
Yeah, I was so curious about that. Like, from a real estate agent's perspective, I coach a lot of them, and like, once you start doing too many things, you can't do one thing really well, mm-hmm. right? So for you guys, I'm sure you guys, especially with Omaha building the way that it is, you guys probably get a lot of opportunities. Do you got to say no to some of those, or how do you view those that are like, this is definitely in our wheelhouse, and this is definitely not?
Well, I already said I say no to nobody pretty much. So
the answer is we don't answer.
Kevin will come in and be like, what did you said we do that?
We're putting that up there, what?
Yeah, I mean, we love to build houses. We love to help people. So we try.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it doesn't work out, but most of the time we try.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to cut corners and have problems. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can explain some of the things that we do normally. That's naturally great for the house and you can peel some of those out. But at the end of the day, I want a solid product.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's important.
And I think I end up being the bad guy a lot anymore because he won't say no to anybody. So I try to steer that ship a lot. And if you can ask Ashley and Brittany, it's, well, if we ask James, he's going to say yes. So let's ask Kevin first to make sure that's what we actually want to do.
Yeah. So agents and clients, go to James if you need, if you need confirmation.
Right? What you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty bad at it. I'm pretty bad at giving in.
That's funny. Well, I mean, okay. So from an agent perspective, and I'm doing that because I know a lot of agents are watching this and they don't know where to start when they look for a builder either. So I thank you guys for sharing this info. We got to look at like a 90 day to 1 year view in our business. And where's this going? Cause that's kind of like the time lapse of when we're helping our clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys got to start thinking about things much further out, whereas the developers way, way far out, like where's the city infrastructure going, right? How are you guys viewing the market over the next 1 year to 3-4 years?
I think it's going to get better. You know, it's slowly going to continue to get better. I don't necessarily think rates are going to drop. I don't think we'll ever see them at 2.5% again. You know, I haven't looked today, but they're probably somewhere around 7, I imagine. It's not historically, it's not a bad interest rate, right? Mm-hmm. It's just what can people afford and what's realistic to them.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, 2 years ago said I could buy a $600,000 house. Well, maybe today they can only buy a $400,000 or $450,000 house. Mm-hmm. So for us, I think it's important because we're in on land development. We have some of our own land developments. We look out and see, okay, I want to put 15 specs in the ground today. I want to have them done and sold by November so I can turn around and throw in another, you know, 15, 20. Mm-hmm. We can have them ready for spring. So I'm trying to always have something for agents to sell, something ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's 30, 60, 90 days out, you know, at least they can gauge, because not everybody wants to wait 6 months to build a house, right? And if somebody else has got a longer build time than we do, you know, then that's kind of a turnoff, I think, for some of those buyers.
Yep.
So we try to have available product. And then, of course, we love pre-sales, mm-hmm. right? Pre-sales are, those are awesome for us. So the more the merrier, but...
You're optimistic.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I think we got a good long runway ahead of us.
Yeah. And I think there's enough pent up demand of people that have been waiting and mm-hmm. they don't know where they want to go. I think something to be cognitive to is the availability of lots, right? I mean, it's already a conversation that we can only go so much further west and we can go south. And I went to a conference the other day and Northwest is going to become very popular, but and it's growing out that way, but sewer and infrastructure can only go so far. So
okay.
Lots get more expensive. Prices of homes are going to go up. So, I mean, if you're somebody that's sitting on the fence or you have a client that's sitting on the fence right now, you know, if you sign a contract with us, we hope we can have it, you know, in 6 to 8 months. If they wait another 6 to 8 months, you know, I don't know if the lot availability is going to continue to be there. I think prices are going to start going up. Even if rates go down, I think you'll start seeing the prices of homes go up.
Yeah, for sure. So, and a lot of that, it is demand, right? We have had such a huge demand for so many years.
Yeah.
I think that's big. So tell me this, where are you guys all building now? Price point, like if an agent were to come to you guys, what kind of product and where would that be?
Yeah, we're all over the board. I would say Sarpy County is probably one of the hotter markets for us. We're really heavy in Gretna. I mean, we both live in Gretna. I've been in Gretna for 13 years, so I might be biased. Mm-hmm. You know? So we got stuff that starts at 350 in that area. And then we got custom lots over there as well. Papillion, we got several lots. We got stuff for our entry level, semi-custom, our customs and our villas. Down there too. We got Bennington, we got a neighborhood. Elkhorn, we got a neighborhood. Where did I miss?
I think pretty much it. Yeah, North Omaha area.
Yep.
Kind of all over.
Yeah. When you talk about the availability of lots and what's going to become available or what's not available, what you'll also see, and I think is important as agents, is there's always lots out there somewhere, right? So even if you have a client that's like, I want to be in Gretna area, right? But I don't specifically want to be in XYZ neighborhood. It's important to have that relationship with a good builder who's like, well, I don't have any lots in that area, but I can get them.
Yeah.
Or I know this person, I can get them. So there's tons of availability out there right now.
For sure. From an agent perspective, like what are some like key things to be asking about when evaluating different builders in Omaha that maybe we don't see or we don't think of? You could go back to what you were saying earlier and right? Asking those questions.
Yeah.
But and like from an agent's words, what would we be asking?
Yeah, I think it's tough because agents don't. A lot of people don't know, like that spew I just threw out there of uh-huh. what's different.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. So definitely do your homework, right? Mm-hmm. See what's out there, see what's available. I'm willing to meet customers any day of the week if I have to. I love meeting people, creating new relationships. So I'm willing to meet with your buyer and talk about it or show them through the house. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
But just knowing who they are, their reputation, what goes into the house, tour the house if you can, You know, it's a small town, so you can kind of figure out what's going on and who's what.
Yeah.
I think anyways.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately price drives everything, but it's so important to educate yourself on what every builder's doing, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it comes down to price, it comes down to price. But if they're educating themselves and their potential buyers on what a specific builder's doing, I think that's pretty important.
It's awesome. Yeah. So as we kind of get through, as we kind of wrap up here, as we kind of get through these next few years, you guys are kind of scaling to 100. And then after that, we're going to decide if we stay put or we're going to keep growing. You guys seem like you guys have a lot of drive. So
yeah, I'm like, if we had 200 sales, I would make it work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the kind that just like you run a roofing company, mm-hmm. you know, you and your dad, if there was a hailstorm and he got 400 roofs,
he's ready.
Figure out how to get them done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're going to grow. You're going to adapt. You're going to make it happen. I'm not going to turn people away. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to make it happen.
Love it. I love it. What are you guys most proud of in this whole process of building this? What you guys have?
I'm most proud of just the group and the core that we've instilled, you know, like our group of employees, our trades, the families we've got to put in these homes. You know, I'm active in youth sports in Gretna too. I coach a lot and I love seeing these kids and I love seeing them grow. I love seeing new families move in and have their kids. You know, I'll go to a function and somebody will come up and be like, "Hey, you built my house," or, you know, what, like, that's cool to me. Like, I want the community feel, and that's probably from coming from a town of 500 people, right? Like, I don't want to be the builder that's like, "Oh, right, there's so," you know, like, I'm not shying away. I want to have that good relationship and I want to see them grow.
Yeah.
I want to see their kids grow in the community. That's probably what I'm most proud of as a whole.
That's awesome.
Seeing all them.
I love it.
Yeah. The relationships, again, you know, back to that from that James said, whether it's the homeowner that we have several people we're friends with now that we built homes for, bankers, vendors, subs, everybody, all the way through.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing for me.
You can tell, like, the one thing that aligns is, like, relationships, family, allowing, like, the process and the product to be the result of how this company grows. So I think you guys are doing a great job there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Am I missing anything? You guys got any last commercial moments here you guys want to throw out here?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. We're not here to push us and say we're the best to build with us. We're just, you know, education, help people if we can. If we can't, you know, we're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. You guys play a really important role in terms of how, you know, the Great Omaha area is growing and where it's going. So I'm sure you guys got a lot on your plate and this is hard to carve out an hour. So I appreciate you guys making time to be here on this podcast.
Of course.
I'm excited to see how this, you know, comes out. But thank you guys for being here. Everybody's watching, share this, and thanks for hopping on. We'll see you next time.